It is good indeed to be here this morning, and it's good to be able to talk with you and to study with you this morning. I do want to say Happy Mother's Day, and we have some that are mothers for the first time, some mothers for a bunch of times, and some are grandmothers and great-grandmothers, and I don't know if we have any great-greats or not, but it wouldn't surprise me. We got a lot of mothers. And one of the interesting things about mothers is that we all have a mother. It may be that we didn't know our mother. It may be that our mother is no longer with us. It may be that we had a good mother, a bad mother, or one that was indifferent, or it may be any number of things. But the fact is, we all have a mother. And I find that interesting because over in the book of Genesis in chapter 3 and it says that God had made Adam and Eve, and then they had sinned in the garden, you remember, and they had eaten of the tree, and God pronounced a curse on them. And one of the interesting things was that up until that time, it always refers to Adam, the man, and it refers to Eve as the woman. But then after the curse, it refers to him as Adam, and it refers to her as Eve in verse 20. The man called his wife's name Eve, which means living or life, because she was the mother of all living. And so that's where it all started. That was the, shortly after that's the first Mother's Day, when she had Cain and became a mother. But we all have a mother. In the book of 2 Kings, there's a story there that actually begins back in 1 Kings. Elisha was the prophet. He was in the northern part of the divided kingdom called Israel. And there he was, and he was going, and he would travel around and teach and preach and so on. And there was one place that he went quite a bit, and there was a Shunammite woman, a woman who was a Shunammite. And she told her husband, she said, "Hey, this prophet, this man of God, he keeps coming by here," said, "why don't we build him a room, and then when he comes by, he can just stay here, and we'll furnish his room, and he can just live with us when he passes through." And so they did that. And so after some period of time, Elisha asked his servant, Gehazi, he said, "What is it I can do for this woman? She's been so good to us, and she made a room for us, and she feeds us, and she takes care of us, and I need to do something good for her." And so after a little bit of discussion, he found out she didn't have a child, and she wanted a son. And so God told her, or Elisha told her, that God's going to give you a son. Well, God gave her the son. And it seems that this little boy was growing up as normal, and one day he was out in the field with his daddy working, and he got sick, and he said he had a headache. And so the daddy sent him back to his mother. And so he went home to his mother. And then we read in 2 Kings chapter 4, in verse 18, when the child was growing, the day came when he went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said to his father, "My head, my head." And he said to his servant, "Carry him to his mother." And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her lap till noon, and then died. And as I read that story, I think about, now this is what you expect from a good mother. She takes that child and she puts him in her lap. And I don't know of a place any more comforting than the lap of mother. And this little boy with this terrible headache sits there till finally he died. She was loving. She was kind. She was concerned about her child, and she was caring, and she was nurturing, and she just held on to him tight in her lap until He died. When he died, she sent word out in the field to her husband, and she told him, she said, "I'm going to see the man of God." And she didn't tell him why. She said, "I'm going to see Elisha." But she didn't tell him why. But I think in doing this, the Shunammite woman shows her faith in God, because she knows that Elisha can do something about this. And so as she begins to approach in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 24, she begins to approach, and she says, she saddled her donkey and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Do not slow down the pace for me unless I tell you." We've got to get there. We need to hurry. And so he says, she tells this servant, said, "You don't slow down for anything. You just keep going." So she went and she came to the man of God, who is Elisha, at Mount Carmel. Now, she explains to Elisha what's going on, and that the boy has died, and Elisha sent his servant Gehazi ahead of him with the staff, and said, "Lay it on the boy," and when he comes back, he said, "It didn't do any good." Well, meanwhile, the woman and Elisha are on their way, and so when Elisha gets there, he goes through some rituals and prayer, and finally, he raises the boy from the dead and gives him back to her mother. And I've often wondered what kind of lessons this might have taught this boy as he grew older and became a man. And I'm sure that in the process of it, that this example of his mother trusting in God meant a lot to this particular boy, because it meant his life. And so we learn a lot from mothers by their example. And I listen to quite a bit of music on the radio at different times, and one of the interesting things that I've always noticed is how many songs there are about mother praying. And how many songs there are about mother trusting in God. And mothers teach their family about prayer, and they teach their family about trusting God as they do it for themselves and do it with their family as well. They teach about reading the Bible and trying to live by it. And how important that is to know the Word of God. You cannot, I cannot, we cannot know God or know Jesus Christ if we don't study His Word. That's the only way we can come to know God and to really know Him. And so James says, if we will draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. He says, look into the perfect law of liberty and see yourself and make the changes that need to be made so that you can be what God wants you to be. But not only that, many times mothers teach their children about singing and praising God. And it's not just when we come together in an assembly like this, but how many times I've heard mothers singing praises to God when they were cleaning house or cooking or maybe working in the field even. And the fact is, mothers teach their children so much by their example. Mothers very often teach their children what love is. We just sang songs about love, and love is ultimately God. Love is ultimately Jesus Christ. But as we see Christ living in us, we learn how to love each other. And it is mothers who often teach their family how to love and what love really is. But you know, mothers very often love even when it's not easy to love. And they give of themselves completely when they're not getting anything good in return. And so good mothers learn to love even when someone is unlovable. And in the process of doing that, they also teach patience. And I would venture to say that almost every mother has to have patience. Because first of all, she had to have a husband to get the kid in the first place. And I know it takes a lot of patience for a woman to live with a man. I don't care how good you are, man. It takes a lot of patience. And it certainly takes patience to deal with kids while they're growing up at every stage. And so mothers teach patience. Good mothers teach respect and submission. Because they understand their role as a mother, and they understand that they are to show respect for their husband, and they show respect even for their children, and they show respect for God, and they show respect for authority in general. And good mothers do this, and they teach by example as they do this. And so it is so important that they teach respect and they teach submission and what it means to be submissive to someone else. And in the process of that, good mothers teach unselfishness and giving. Most of our young people today cannot relate at all to what I'm fixing to tell you, but some of you that are my age or older will understand. It used to be that mothers cooked. This, for you younger people, that's something that you used to do a long time ago. Mothers actually cooked meals. They didn't just bring them in. They actually cooked them. And one of the things that they cooked was they would cook chickens. Now, they didn't go buy chicken fingers and cook them. They actually bought a chicken and they would cut it up in pieces and they would cook that chicken. And so there were pieces of chicken that some of you probably have never even seen, like gizzards and livers and necks and backbones and some of those things, because mostly what you've seen is chicken fingers, which is just a little slice of breast meat is all it is. But those of you that are older can remember when your parents, you thought, really liked back meat, or they really liked that little bit of meat that was in the neck, or they really liked the gizzards and the livers. And then when you got older, you found out that they really liked the breast and the leg and the thigh and the wing. They just let you have it because you were kids and they thought you needed the better piece of meat. You see, those little things that mothers do, that when we're young, we don't even know it. And yet, they teach us so much about being unselfish and about being giving. And it wasn't just mothers. Many times it was fathers as well. And mothers teach good work ethic. They teach how to be busy and how to get things done. In fact, some mothers think you're not supposed to ever sit down and rest. But they teach a good work ethic. In Proverbs chapter 31, beginning in verse 25, it says, describing a virtuous woman, strength and dignity are her clothing. And she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household. She does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her. And so in her wisdom, mothers teach their children about life. Because they have lived it and they understand it. And so we find in Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck." And so as we think about this, we need to be thankful for our mother. And if your mother is still alive, then let her know that you're thankful for her and tell her that you're thankful. Tell her that you love her. And whether she is alive or not, you can honor her in word and in action. And you can keep in mind the instructions that she gave you and follow the teaching that she gave you. And so Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you know, we've talked about mothers and we've talked about good mothers in it. And for many of us who had some wonderful mothers, that is a good feeling and a good thought to think about our mothers, even if they're not with us anymore. But you know, there are some bad mothers. And we've been studying the Old Testament in our Wednesday night Bible class here in the auditorium, and we've just recently studied about Jezebel and her daughter Athaliah. And these are two of some of the most wicked women that ever lived. And they not only taught and advised their children to be wicked and to be mean and to be cruel, but they also taught them not to serve God or to have anything to do with God. It's interesting that in the book of Romans, in chapter 1, where it's listing that all of those terrible sins, one of the things that is listed is people become unloving and God gives up on them because of that. The same word is used over in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3. And the word unloving means literally without natural family affection is what it means. In other words, it's a mother that doesn't love her baby. It's a mother that doesn't love her children or her family at all. And we find that Jezebel and Athaliah both killed their own offspring because of jealousy. They were terribly wicked people, but we can learn valuable lessons even from bad mothers. When I was young, and I'm going to tell you a story about some people, and all of them are dead right now. But when I was young, there was a lady who used to babysit me sometimes, and she and my mother, she was a young girl at the time, she was in school, she was in high school. But she and my mother became good friends, and she would confide in my mother, and she told mother on more than one occasion that her mother was really a bad mother. She said she's a terrible mother. And if you knew this woman, her mother, you knew that she was a busybody who had tried to find out about everybody's business, and she was a gossip. Not only that, she had a terribly rotten attitude and she only saw the bad in everybody and everything. She had no respect for her husband and she was always telling everybody how terrible her husband was. She was negative, she was gossip, she found fault with everything and everybody. And this young high school girl told my mother, she said, "I've got probably one of the worst mothers in the world." She said, "But I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to grow up to be everything that she's not and not be anything that she is." And that young girl grew up and she went off to school at Florida College. She met a man there. She married him. He became a preacher. And she was a preacher's wife until she passed away. And she raised some excellent children who loved her dearly till the day she died because she was a wonderful mother. But she learned it from a terrible mother because she didn't want to be like her mother. So we can learn even from bad situations how to be good. If your mother's still alive, you need to pray for her. Let her know that you love her. And if you've had a bad mother or you do still, thank God for letting you learn something from her bad example. This morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, your mother, if she's alive, probably prays every day that you will accept Christ. And if she's not still alive, I can assure you that as long as she lives, she was praying that you would become a child of God. And so this morning, we urge you to give your life to Christ. Come to Him and confess your faith in Jesus as the Son of God and turn away from your sin and repentance. Be baptized into Christ and have your sins washed away. And then be faithfully serving Him as long as you live. If you're here this morning, you're subject to His invitation. We invite you to come as we sing.